So I want to weave in the next topic, which is PARP inhibitors and triple negative disease. And I want to hear about your patient, your 43-year-old woman who ended up getting a PARP inhibitor. And of course, I want to hear about the data and what your take is on it. But just to introduce it, just out of curiosity, I want you to think about this same patient you just discussed with the lung nodules that you ended up giving the NAB and atezolizumab to. And I guess my question is, what would you have done if you knew she had a BRCA germline mutation?
I would have treated her the same way. I think there's a lot of interest in giving PARP inhibitors with checkpoint inhibitors because there's some data that you can goose up the immune system via the STING pathway through interferon-mediated cell inflammation. And so, you know, the data from two phase two studies, not randomized, you know, looks pretty intriguing. And there's now randomized studies going on and also subgroup studies going on. But there's a lot of interest in using, I mean, this is sort of not in any way the approval for PARP inhibitors, but there's interest in using that combination as maintenance therapy after chemo. I was talking about this patient. I mean, boy, you get chemo fatigue. I mean, you know, you're looking, oh, you know, my median survival is 18, you know, is, I have to say, 7-month improvement in survival means your median survival is a little over 2 years. It's not like great. So this patient, I think, will live appreciably longer, but she's depressed. She doesn't want to stay on chemo forever, you know, can't travel as far.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's about the chemo. You could always keep the atezolizumab going, but
right.
I'm just talking practical right now, practical.
Right. So this is practical. So you drop the chemo. So in this patient, if she had a BRCA mutation, the idea would be you'd still start with the treatment that's been demonstrated to improve survival. But as she's saying, you know, complaining about her chemo fatigue, et cetera, you could say, well, you know, we could always drop the chemo, continue atezolizumab, and, you know, we're studying adding in PARP inhibitors in this setting. Let's say you didn't want to take that exploratory approach, which is being studied in trials. You could say, well, we'll drop the chemo, continue atezolizumab, and if your cancer progresses, we could either add back in chemo or we could give a PARP inhibitor, oral therapy, pretty well tolerated, and this would be a great option for you. And it's an option for her after the atezolizumab chemotherapy combination stops working as well. And I think most of us would now use it as a second line approach, given the fact that we have survival data in the first line.
You know, it's so interesting because when we ask oncologists, we present cases of metastatic breast cancer and BRCA germline, and a lot of them talk about using chemo followed by PARP maintenance because they're used to that from ovary. It makes complete sense to them. And then we go, yeah, but there's no data in breast cancer on it. But yet it's just so appealing. It makes so much sense. And as you're saying, clinically, it makes a lot of sense. But let's bring in the data because obviously it sounds like you're more impressed with the bump that the PD-L1 positive patients get in survival. And that makes a lot of sense.